I feel normal again. The dark is back where it belongs, tucked neatly away in that place I put it years ago.
Chapter 17. Brick. I could care less about the parties or the people, or the holidays for that matter, I say as I dance with Chella. Then why do you come? She laughs. It's a slow song and we are facing each other. Close, so her words and her breath heat up my chest because she's resting her head there. Our feet move in slow circles around the dance floor, just one couple among dozens. I don't know what she's thinking right now. I certainly gave her a lot to think about, not to mention all the things that were said and left unsaid at the club meeting. But she seems to be taking it well. She's smiling and being friendly with the many, many, many people who feel the need to come up to me tonight and thank me for club contributions over the years. To dance, slowly, I say, just like this. It's nice, Chella says. What's this party for again? Cancer research fundraiser. The club gives a lot of money to this organization. Oh, she says, pulling back a little. Is the club your job? Kind of. I run it and we use the dues to donate, plus Smith's money. Most of what I hand out is Smith's money. Where does he get his money? Does he have a job? I've looked him up on the internet and there's really nothing there aside from, well, things like this. Charities and foundations. He doesn't get money or make money. He just has money. It has to come from somewhere. It comes from his trust. If you had to give his job a label, then I guess you'd call him a philanthropist. Chella says. I don't think that word fits him at all. Why not? I'm actually fascinated to hear what she thinks of Smith. I know he's playing some kind of game with her that doesn't involve Quinn and me. But what it is, I'm not sure yet. Well, philanthropy implies a love for humanity that involves caring about people and nurturing them as a group. And maybe I don't know him well, but he comes across as crass and egomaniacal, not someone concerned with the welfare of the human race as a whole. He actually does a lot of good with his money. This organization isn't even one of his top 10 beneficiaries, and he gave them $20 million last year. He gives mostly to humanist endeavors, and mostly to organizations overseas. So you'll never go to one of those parties, unless, of course, you marry him or something. I laugh. And he gets you all to himself for weeks at a time, but I wouldn't hold your breath. She smiles weakly, but gets my meaning. Smith is off limits to everyone, even her. We shouldn't waste our time talking about Smith. He's a lost cause. Besides, I'm curious to know what you're thinking. About? Chella counters. She knows what about, but I'm happy to spell it out. About the last rule. The gangbang? I laugh so hard people start staring at us. Quiet, Chella says, looking around nervously. I'm sorry. I just didn't expect you to characterize it that way. That's what it is, though, right? The three of you taking turns with me? At the same time, I'm a realist, Brick. I like to call things like they are. I don't need pretty words or false promises to understand the darkness. I stop dancing and look down at her. She's not short, but I'm tall, so her eyes only come up to my neck. It's not a gangbang, Marcella. It's a menage, just like Quinn said. It's a relationship, not a one-time group fuck. My words are a proper chastising, and they make her shrink a little. Sorry, she says. I'm just having a hard time understanding what the three of you have going. What do you get out of it? Aside from you, I ask, one eyebrow raised. But that's the thing. You don't really get me. You get to share me. Why would you want to share me when you can each have whomever you want all to yourselves? Maybe we want that with each other. So you're all gay? No, I laugh. No, we're not gay. Do you fuck them? Chella, I'm serious. I need to know. I just need to understand, and I need to put a label on this. No, I don't fuck them. Have you ever kissed Quinn or Smith, or touched them erotically during one of these menage episodes? Menage episodes, I say. Well, I've heard it all now. I'm serious, Brick. It's an honest question. And just looking at her, I realize it is an honest question. She is calm and serious and curious. I'm sure I have, but it's not a memory I hold on to and think about later. So let's say you're having sex with one of your toys in the game of taking turns. Okay, I say. And everyone is turned on. Things are hot and carnal. I smile, just thinking about the images in her head right now. Where do you draw the line? With them, I mean. Do you suck their cocks? Fuck, Chilla, just answer me. Why won't you answer me? I have no issue talking about this at all, or telling you anything you want to know. But just so we're clear, you're turning me on. I take her hand off my shoulder and drag it down my chest until I can feel the warmth of her palm pressing against the thick, hard outline of my cock through my pants. We go as far as we want. So, if Smith was fucking me and your cock was right there like he wanted to put it in my mouth, he could suck it instead? And you wouldn't mind? Because it's all in the moment and the moment is all about peeking into the forbidden? Are you trying to drive me crazy? Would you let him? If he wanted to. I shrug. If I was in the mood to let him, why not? Does that bother you? Would that be a line you wouldn't cross? I would probably suck it with him, she says, dead serious. We just stare at each other. So many silent seconds tick off, and I have so many questions for her right now, I don't even know where to start. Excuse me, a deep voice says off to my left. Do you mind if I cut in and dance with your date, Elias? Chella smiles. Maybe at the conversation we were just saved from. Maybe because this guy called me Elias instead of Brick, and that implies a different world than the one we inhabit together. Or maybe because she's the one playing with me and not the other way around. I step back and greet Bernard Millington with a handshake, a clap on the back, and hand Chella over to the old geezer who probably just wants to piss his wife off by dancing with a younger woman. Bernard dances with her only briefly and then whisks her off to make introductions to other members of the board we sit on together. She finds me with her eyes when she can, and I never stop staring at her at all. Not even when I pull out my phone, dial Smith's number. He answers with, "Yes, Mr. Brickman, how can I help you?" in that smug I told you so voice. "Set it up," I say. "I think we're a go for tonight." The party goes late, and Chella is busy avoiding me the entire time as I suck down several drinks and try to assure board members that there will be similar and possibly more generous donations next year. It's after 2 a.m. when we finally make our way back inside the car and head north towards downtown. "Did you have a nice time?" I ask. "Did it look like I was?" she asks. It's easy to forget who she really is when we have her in a vulnerable state. But right now, all night, in fact, she's been reminding me. Marcella Walcott is the only child of a U.S. senator who spent most of his adult life in D.C. She grew up in it. She grew up with people like the ones we were with tonight. She knows how to dance to the music of a string quartet. She knows how to make polite conversation. She knows how to talk to people about politics and societal concerns and money. "I think you did," I say. "I did," she laughs, wrapping her hands around my upper arm and leaning into me just enough to let me know she's receptive to whatever I have planned when we get home. "Good," I say, "because we have 2 more weeks of parties." "And then what, Elias Brickman?" I look out my window and smile, sure she is watching my reflection in the dark glass very closely. "What will you do with me when we run out of parties to keep us busy?" I look back at her. I admit I was not convinced of Smith's characterization of her all week long. He's got theories upon theories about why she's here, why she's playing along. I didn't see it, I guess. Couldn't imagine it, maybe. But when she said she'd suck my cock with Smith, I have to admit, he might be right. I see it too. A little, I suppose. When I first asked her to be part of this, I saw the cravings she was trying to hide. I felt the darkness underneath, trying to get out. But I think this way about all of them. There has to be a deviant side to the women we play with, or we'd never get very far. Rochelle had a dark, deviant side too, but it didn't run deep. Not deep enough, at least. Not for Smith. I figured Marcella Walcott was the same way. She likes a little edge to her sex. A little gagging, a tight blindfold, a spanking or two. But even if I could imagine what she's hinting at tonight, I never imagined she'd offer it up so soon. That's up to you, Marcella. You're the one in control, regardless of how this looks. Do you want me to call Smith? I offer. Tonight? Are you entertaining the thought of giving in? My heart races with the thought of getting her to comply so quickly, so easily. No, she laughs. No, I don't think so. Hmm, I mumble. Does that make you mad? She asks. After I teased you tonight? No, I shake my head. I wasn't after that tonight anyway. What were you after? Another option, maybe. She smiles and raises an eyebrow. Cheating? Do you cheat, Elias? No, I say. We don't cheat, ever. But as I'm sure you're aware from Smith's little offer to shave your legs that first night, we have ways around the rules. She's silent after that. I let her keep her thoughts to herself as we make our way through the streets of downtown and back to the front curb outside Turning Point Club. I walk her into the lobby and up the second floor stairs that take us to the elevator. We are silent as we ascend. I fully intend to go inside the apartment with her, but when we get to the door, she turns and rests her back against it, barring my way forward. I had a nice time, she says, just like a woman on a first date. I'm glad. We have so many more nice times ahead of us, Chella. So I'll see you tomorrow? What time? We can have a dinner alone if you'd like. No other players to distract us this time. That would be nice. Are you trying to get rid of me right now? I don't want Smith here. I might say yes to that another time, but not tonight, Brick. We're back to Brick, huh? No more Elias? I think Elias is reserved for honest moments, and this one doesn't feel honest. To who? I ask. To you or me? Because I'm okay with being 100% honest about what I want right now. You want me, but in order to have me, I have to let Smith be a part of it. Like I said, Chella, we have ways around the rules. How then? She asks, her fingers playing with the lapels of my suit coat. She looks up at me, and I know she wants this so bad. She just can't admit it. Something inside her is telling her it's wrong, and it's dirty, and it's forbidden. But that's what this is about, isn't it? The forbidden. I lean down and kiss her mouth. She is so ready for me, my dick grows hard beneath my pants. We have cameras, I whisper into our kiss, set up all over the apartment. I had Smith turn them on earlier, so I can fuck you tonight, alone, just the way you want it. And then he can watch like some pathetic piece of shit who can't manage to get his own girl. We won't break the rules, and he never has to come near you, Chella. I'll make sure he never touches you again. She says nothing. Not yes, not no. So I take over. I open the door, push her inside, and then I walk her backwards, making her bump against the wall, and slip my hand up her dress. Are you going to say no? I ask, finding her pussy with my fingers and massaging the wetness out of her. No, she says. I withdraw my hand and slide her coat down her arms, then grab the front of her dress and rip it down the middle. She gasps in surprise, but I just take that as an opportunity. An opportunity to push her to her knees, unzip my pants, pull my cock out, and shove it down her throat. She gags, her hands pressing on my muscled thighs, pushing me away, but I hold her in place. When no means yes and yes means no, Chella, and you say no, then it's on. I pull her to her feet, drag her over to the couch, bend her over, and smack her ass so hard she yelps. I rub her red cheek for a few moments as I calm myself. I can feel the urges inside me taking over, and it's way too soon to let them out. I stand her up again and twirl her around. Her eyes are glistening like she might cry. But when I kiss her mouth, she melts into me. Her hands on my cock, pumping me, squeezing so hard I have to close my eyes and enjoy it for a second. Do you like it rough? I ask when I pull myself together. I like it, she says. One simple sentence that says so much more than she intended. Good, I say, petting her messed up hair. Good. I take her hand, gently, and lead her down the hallway. She's wearing nothing but her shoes. When we get in the bedroom, I lead her to the bed and push down on her head until she's kneeling again. Her mouth is open, ready and willing. Oh no, Chella, it's not going to be that easy. You kept me guessing all week. You hid your dark side and had me worried we'd made a mistake. She doesn't move a muscle. She sits still, looking up at me like I am her whole world. God, it's like she knows my soul. I reach into the new bedside table, already stocked with the things I like. The ball gag, the rope, the whip, the blindfold. I place them on the bed and point. Choose. All of it, she says. But I shake my head. No. You're going to hear no from me a lot now that you're ready to say yes. Choose one. I expect the blindfold, or the gag, but she chooses the rope. I pick her up and throw her down on the bed, opening her legs. I take one length of rope and wrap it around her ankle, tying it to one corner of the bed frame. Then do that again with her other ankle. She is moaning softly each time I touch her. Her fingers, still free to do as they please, seek out her own pleasure as she watches me work. Chella Walcott, I say as I finish tying her legs open. You are a freak after my heart. She says, nothing. I take my coat off, then my suit coat, throwing them both down on the floor. I unknot my tie and use it to bind her hands together in front of her stomach. Still, she says nothing. You like this, don't you? Yes, she says, her eyes on my cock, still peeking through the zipper of my pants. I like it all, Elias. Give me what I like. I leave my pants on. I like the way the zipper bites at my balls when I bend down to lick between her legs, my tongue sweeping up and down her pussy, flicking against her clit until she is writhing and begging me to whip her and slap her face and come all over her tits. Getting ahead of yourself, Marcella, I say in a low growl as I straddle her hips and walk my knees up her body until my cock is hovering right in front of her mouth. We've got a long way to go before we get to that little corner of your dark mind. I straddle her shoulders and slip my dick into her wet mouth, grabbing her hair as I push myself so far inside her, she gags hard. But it only turns me on more. It only makes me go deeper, thrust harder. Her face is covered in her own spit, her eye makeup running down the sides of her cheeks. Still, her eyes never leave mine. I can do anything I want with this woman, anything I want. She will never again tell me no. I fuck her after that. I put my dick in her so deep she wails, her bound hands grabbing for my shoulder as I thrust over and over. Her nails bite into my skin and she's whispering in my ear, don't stop, don't stop, don't. I fuck her like I've wanted to fuck her all week. I fuck her the way I imagined it. I look at the cameras, because I know where each and every one of them are, and I flip Smith off as I do it. Fuck you, Smith, I think. Fuck you for being right. Fuck you for bringing her here. Fuck you for watching. Fuck you for ruining her, just like you ruined all the others. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. But he's the one who wins tonight, and we both know it.
Chapter 18. Chella. When I wake up, Brick is gone. On the pillow next to mine is a note. Don't be late for work. Don't be late coming home. Wear the red dress without panties or bra. I'll pick you up here at 7. Elias. His commands feel both familiar and foreign. Familiar because I've been down this path before. I've taken that shortcut through the woods more than once. But it's been a long time. The only significant thing that happens at work is learning that Matisse's entire collection sold on Saturday night. Saturday seems like years ago. And that Brick bought it and then promptly donated it to the Mountain Ballet. It's going to be displayed in its entirety in the courtyard outside the building. Construction on an all-weather version of the curtain has begun, and installation will begin on April 1st. My boss, Charles Benton, is in the gallery all day talking on the phone to special patrons, a code word for contributors, about the year ahead. He takes over my office, since he really doesn't have one here himself. I manage visitors and do the appropriate amount of small talk, but my mind is not here at the gallery. My mind is stuck back in the place Brick left it last night. Under his complete control, silently begging for more, asking myself over and over and over why I need more. I've had complete control over all my shameful desires for 3 years. So why now? Why did I let Rochelle dangle this arrangement in front of my face? And more importantly, why did I accept her offer? The problem is, there's only one answer for it. One answer that I don't want to think about. I really am sick. The car comes promptly at 6 to pick me up, just like it came promptly at 8:45 this morning to take me to work. It was strange walking out of the top floor apartment without one of my players, and it feels strange to walk in without them as well. But I see them. I see all three of them when I get home from work. Brick is in the bar talking to a good-looking man and a woman I recognize from the first night I was here. Quinn is chatting with four men in the main lobby, and even though I catch his eye for a second, he doesn't acknowledge me. Smith is sitting up in that private bar they have on the second floor. He never stops looking at me while I climb the stairs.
"Come here, Chella," he says from his balcony seat as I wait for the elevator.
"No," I say, just loud enough for my voice to carry up to his ears. "This isn't your night." When the doors open, I step in and make sure I don't turn around until they close me up tight. When I get to the apartment, I find the dress already laid out for me on the bed. I look around for the cameras I know are here, but can't seem to find. And then I put them out of my mind. That's a lie. I undress for them. For him. For Smith. I undress and sit at the makeup vanity in the large master bathroom, naked. And when I'm happy with my dark eyes and red lips, I lie back on the bed and finger myself until I come so hard there's a wet spot on the comforter. The dress slips over my flushed body in seconds, and at exactly 7 o'clock, Brick walks through my apartment door.
"Wow," he says. "I like you in the black, but red is your color."
He kisses me, a long, lingering kiss with one hand around my throat and one hand between my legs.
"You're wet,"
he whispers into my mouth. "I just came," I whisper back. "I'm sorry. I couldn't wait."
"You filthy whore,"
he says, smiling. I want to undress him right now, tell him to forget this party and fuck me instead. But I'm being good. I'm being very, very good.
"Are you hungry?" Brick asks. "For something besides my cock?"
I laugh with him. "Not really," I say, my answer more truthful than he suspects. "But I'm happy to wait for that later."
"Like a reward,"
Brick says, grabbing a black coat from the front closet I've never seen before. He drapes that over one arm, places his hand on the small of my back, and then leads me out into the hall. We get on the elevator and look at each other the entire way down to the second floor.
"I saw you come in, but I didn't want people to know I was looking."
"I saw you as well."
"We're having dinner in the black room tonight."
"I thought that was a bar."
"It is, but the booths by the window are nice."
"They are nice. I know this because I already sat in one when Smith first brought me here." "I saw Quinn and Smith, too. Are they joining us?"
"No," Brick says as the elevator doors open. "They're both busy tonight, and we can't stay at the party long."
"Good," I laugh.
"We might want time to ourselves before I have to drop you off at your house."
"My house?" I ask as we step out onto the landing. Smith is staring at me from his perch in the balcony bar.
You belong to Smith at midnight, and he wants you at home tonight.
Oh, I say, letting Brick guide me down the stairs. Quinn isn't in the lobby when we get there. He's in the black room, sitting near the bar with a blonde woman who I swear to God I think is Rochelle, before she turns her head to laugh, and I realize she's not.
Are you okay?
Brick asks. Fine, I say, letting him take my hand. He drops the coat off with a coat check girl, and then leads me into the bar and over to the very same table I sat at when Smith brought me here for my test. I sit down on one side, and Brick sits on the other. He smiles at me.
This party is going to be boring. Not that last night's wasn't, but worse. No one under the age of 60 tonight. So we'll get there at 8:30, stay 90 minutes, and then come back here for a bit. Sound good?
All the parts except for the party sound perfect. He laughs.
Did I get your imagination working last night, Chella? You seem to be warming up to this arrangement.
I just had a lot of fun, and I like fun, don't you?
I do, he says. What do you feel like eating tonight?
Just something light, like a salad, with chicken maybe?
I can get that for you, Brick says.
And then someone comes over to talk to him, and he's distracted for a moment. The man eyes me, but Brick makes no move to introduce us. I look down at my place setting and grab the napkin, which is folded into a crisp envelope shape. But it's what's peeking out from under the flap that catches my eye. Writing. I look at Brick to see if he's watching me. Maybe he left me a little note. But he's not. He's still busy with the interloper, so I lift the flap and find the same thick, bold handwriting last night's message was written in. I look up at the bar balcony and find Smith smirking down at me. He lifts his drink as if in a toast, but I turn my head, shake the napkin out, and place it in my lap. I spend the next hour repeating Smith's words in my head as I have mindless conversation with Brick and the many, many people who come up to the table to try, and fail, to get an introduction.
If you want to go dark, go dark. Don't take a light. You're mine every night, Chella. You just don't realize it yet.
When we're done eating, Brick takes me outside where a car is waiting, but not the long, black kind we usually take. His own personal car. He opens the door, and there's a present on the seat. What's this? I ask, smiling up at him as I pick up the bag.
Open it and see.
It's a video camera. A little handheld one that almost no one uses anymore, because everyone just uses a phone.
He was pretty happy with last night, Chella.
This is from Smith?
Yes.
Brick nods, and then he leans in to kiss me.
We are going to do dirty, dirty things for that camera tonight, starting the moment you get in the car.
And even though I do not want to feel that creeping hot wetness between my legs, it's there. It's ready. When Brick gets in the driver's side, after closing my door and telling me to fasten my seatbelt, he says,
"Turn it on."
As he unbuttons and unzips his pants and pulls out his cock,
he's not gonna want to miss this.
My head is in his lap, the camera mounted on the dash, and I suck his cock the entire 20-minute drive over to an estate in Cherry Creek. I swallow his cum and lick my lips as he holds the camera while we're parked on the street, and then I reapply my lipstick and we go inside. The party is boring, the people are old, and those 90 minutes can't go by fast enough. I film Brick fingering me on the way back to Turning Point Club. And when we get upstairs, and I don't have to worry about documenting our depravity anymore, I choose the whip when he lays out his four toys on the bed. My thighs are red and raw by the time 11:30 rolls around. My pussy is sore, but still wants more when he takes me to my house and walks me up to the door. We kiss, passionately, his fingers inside me again, his dick harder than ever. And then he turns away without a word and leaves me in the hands of his friend. I open the door, close it behind me, and then lean back with a sigh. If you want to go dark, don't take a light. And then a phone rings in the kitchen. I walk through the dark house, wondering if I smell paint, but put that thought out of my mind as I reach for the lit-up cell phone on the kitchen island. Hello? I ask the phone.
I have something you might like to see upstairs, Smith says on the other end of the call. Walk up to your room and don't hang up.
I flick on the lights and see the reason my house smells like paint. You painted my orange wall?
You hated it. You need to be walking, Chella. I need you upstairs right now.
Not only did he paint my orange wall, which I did hate, but it's my wall, my house. But there's new furniture as well, new art on the walls, new rugs. A small bedside lamp is glowing in the guest room on the second floor, and I stop to look at what's going on in there.
Keep walking, Chella, Smith says.
I look up at the ceiling, wondering where the cameras are, because he obviously has cameras in here now, too.
You're sleeping in there?
I ask, bewildered. He's been at my house all week from the looks of it. He really has moved in.
Bedroom, Chella, now, Smith growls.
I climb the final flight of stairs up to the third floor. There's a light on up here, too. Not one I had before Smith came into my life. The whole room has been redecorated.
You refurnished my bedroom? I ask. I can't fuck you on a bed I didn't buy new, but that's not what I wanted you to see. Turn on the TV.
The remote has been placed at the end of the bed, along with two napkins he used to send me messages. I click the remote on, ignoring the napkins, and the moaning starts up immediately. It's Brick fucking me tonight. Then scenes from last night flick through in a tightly edited sequence of my moaning and sucking his cock.
Do not turn that TV off, Chella. Do you understand me? Only I'm allowed to turn it off.
Are you here? My eyes dart around as my heart begins to race at the thought of him being inside the house, watching me like a sick freak.
No, Smith laughs. No, I can't trust myself to be there with you this weekend. So let's get this out of the way right the fuck now. Next week, when Brick calls you at midnight to have his little how are you doing conversation, you're going to tell him you want me in the room from now on. Do you understand?
What?
You heard me. In the room, Chella. Fuck these cameras. I want front row seats with an all-access pass from this day forward.
No, I say. That's not your decision. I'm the one in charge.
Is that so? Smith laughs. You wanted to suck Brick's cock in the car and film it for me to watch later? That was your idea? Or was it his idea and you just went along?
I let out a long breath of air.
It wasn't your idea, Chella. You just went along like a good little slut. You sucked his cock and swallowed his cum, and then you painted your red lipstick back on like it's just another night out. And do you know why it was so damn easy to just go along?
Why? I ask in a soft, soft whisper.
Because when you go dark, you don't take a light.
Just what the fuck? But the call has been ended. God, he's sick. But as soon as I think that thought, I think it about myself as well. I'm sick too. We're all sick here. Chapter 19. Chella.
You look tired today, my assistant Michelle says as I make a cup of coffee in the employee break room at the gallery.
I was out late for a Christmas party last night.
And getting fucked sideways.
Not to mention the mind games, courtesy of Smith, which kept me up all night long with the video.
Oh, she says, sipping her coffee and peering over the rim of her mug, eyebrows waggling. You were on a date? Why, Marcella Walcott, I do believe you're keeping secrets from me.
And then she lowers her mug and gives me a stern look.
Tell me everything right now. I can't believe it's not that big of a deal, I say. And I can't talk about it, especially not to Michelle. Our fathers are friends. I've known her for 20 years, ever since she was 4 years old. And good God, now isn't the time to bring that complication into the mix. No, I cannot say too much. I need to downplay everything. Just a date, I say. That's all. Nothing happened, nothing will. Let's talk about work. You know, because we're working right now. Michelle says. No second date on the calendar? I need to be very careful about my lies. How long will this all last? It could be over tomorrow. It could last for weeks or months. Or what if it lasts for years, like it did with Rochelle? I wonder what she told people. Did she have friends? I don't really have friends. I have acquaintances, like Michelle and Catherine, the dog manager. But we don't go out together like girlfriends. Catherine is mostly just a coworker, and I only see Michelle socially when she invites me to her family cabin every now and then. Still, if Brick comes around, or God fucking forbid, Smith, I will have to tell her something. They are important men, men with power and money, men who make you want to gossip. I don't really have to worry about Quinn much. We're together on my days off. I'm actually dating a couple of people, I say, trying to make this believable and yet wholly untrue at the same time. What? Girlfriend, how dare you keep this from me? It's no big deal, just looking around, you know, exploring my options. I'm 30, my chances of finding true love are dwindling day by day. Don't be stupid, Michelle snorts. You're Marcella Walcott. You're a catch, and every guy who comes in here wants to ask you out. But you have this air about you, you know? She makes a wide arc with her arms and says, keep away, no touching, unavailable. I've watched you turn down dozens of men over the past few years. She stops talking to catch her breath. So, she continues in a low, sultry voice, these guys you're dating must be something pretty special. It's just dating Michelle. In fact, one guy is only about Christmas parties. She raises her eyebrow at me again. Men take women to Christmas parties because they want to show them off, Chella. They take them to meet the important people in their lives because they like them. So, who is this mystery man? Is it Matisse? What? I almost choke on my coffee. My friend said she saw you with him last week. After delivery day. She's looking very smug. Which friend? I ask, trying to be innocent about it. Just some girl I went to school with back east. Vanessa Sterling. She was asking about you, in fact. I try not to react, but I'm pretty sure I fail. Why? When? Last week. That's how I know you're with Matisse. She said she saw you at the Turning Point Club having a midnight dinner. You know what that place is, right? She makes air quotes with her fingers as she says, a gentleman's club. But I've heard what happens there. It doesn't surprise me that her husband is a member. I've heard rumors that they're into the whole swingers thing. I do choke on my coffee now. What? Yeah, Turning Point is a swingers club, Chella. Wife swapping, you ever heard of it? No, I lie. But holy fuck, I had no idea this was a well-known fact. If I had, I'd never have gotten involved. Sometimes I wonder where your mother hid you all growing up. You're so clueless. Everyone knows about that place, and my friend said you had dinner on the private side. What was it like? Were people groping each other and shit? Michelle? No, it wasn't even dinner. I went over there with him and we were going to eat, but I got sick and left. I was there for like 20 minutes, that's all. Damn, she said. I've always wondered about that place. And that guy who came with Matisse, Smith Baldwin. Oh, good Lord, I'm screwed. It's like Michelle has the pieces to my secret puzzle laid out in front of her, and all she has to do is start putting it together. I hear he's one of the owners. Is Smith an owner? I thought Elias Brickman owned that place. See, she cackles. You did know what it was, you filthy liar.
Anyway, I'm done talking about this stuff. We have work to do.
What work? We're practically on vacation, sister. This Matisse installation will be here for 3 months. Our job is to smile at visitors. We don't even have to sell the pieces because... shit. Oh my God! That's right, Michelle says. Elias Brickman bought it for the Mountain Ballet Courtyard. Did you meet him?
Well, of course. I had to talk to him about the sale. I'm going to hell for lying, but whatever. I'm already going to hell for so many other things, it hardly matters.
He's so fucking hot. What is he like? Is he a dick like Smith Baldwin?
No, I laugh. He's nice, actually. A lot nicer than Smith. Michelle just stares at me for a few seconds.
You know Smith, too, don't you?
Fuck.
You know all about Turning Point Club. Chella, she exclaims. I need for you to spill, honey. Are you dating?
But she puts it together before she can finish her sentence.
You are, aren't you? You're dating both of them. Michelle, holy shit. Holy shit, holy shit. I wondered why they were both talking to you last week for the opening.
Michelle, I say, setting my coffee down and walking over to grab both her shoulders. Listen to me, okay? I don't want to talk about it.
Why? She asks. This is the most exciting thing to happen to me since Jordan Wells fucked me at a concert last summer.
I have no idea who Jordan Wells is, but my friend knows him.
Holy shit, I think he's a member of that club too, and I bet my friend is swapping with him.
Michelle, I say, squeezing her shoulders harder, giving them a shake for good measure. Listen to me. I don't want people to know about it, okay? I'm uncomfortable dating two guys at once. But it's like she's in a trance. She just stands there, gazing off into space as she imagines all the sordid things I've been doing on my days off.
Now, stop, Chella, I chastise myself. She doesn't know any of that. Will you introduce me?
Absolutely not, I say. Smith Baldwin really is an asshole. I don't think I'll be seeing him again.
Then, just Brickman, can you introduce me to...
Did I just hear my name?
Yes. Hell has come to claim me early, because Brick is standing in the open door of the employee break room looking like a goddamned god in that $5,000 suit. That subtle stubble all over his perfectly square jaw, and wearing a smile that might knock Michelle over dead. He's staring into my eyes like he wants to fuck me right this second. And Michelle does not miss this. Her mouth is open, and she is finally speechless.
Mr. Brickman, she says, snapping out of it before I can even be thankful she stopped talking. She walks towards him with her hand out.
So nice to properly meet you. I'm Michelle Staddington, Chella's assistant.
Brick, being the hot motherfucker with all the moves that he is, takes her hand and brings it to his lips.
So very, very nice to meet one of Chella's friends, Miss Staddington. Tell me you're not related to Victor Staddington, are you?
Yes, he's my father, Michelle beams. Well, this is all very special, I say, moving towards Brick. But Mr. Brickman is here to talk about his purchase. I shoot Michelle a stern, back-away glance. You remember his $50 million purchase? And then I look at Brick. Why don't we take this conversation up to my office, Mr. Brickman, and we can sort out the details? I press my hands on his chest as I scoot past him through the door and do not look back to see if he follows. But he does, excusing himself politely from Michelle, whom I imagine is standing there looking at him like he's meat. I finally look over my shoulder when I get to the bottom of the stairs that lead up to my loft office. And yes, Brick is right behind me. I ascend and let him follow.
Your ass looks fuckable in that skirt today, Chella, he whispers softly, so the gallery visitors can't hear him.
Shh, I hush him as we climb.
My office is not nearly private enough for any conversation I might have with Elias Brickman, but it seems exceptionally open right now as I take a seat at my desk. Brick settles into one of the two chairs in front of my desk and crosses his legs, like he's gonna be here for a while, and he might as well get comfortable. "What are you doing here?" I ask.
"My purchase," he laughs. "I need to sort out the details."
"No, really, Brick," I say, looking down the stairs to see if any visitors, or God forbid Michelle, are listening. "Why are you here? It's not your day."
"Is that a rule?" he asks. "We're not allowed to see you on our days off?"
"I don't know, but it seems logical to me."
"Because it keeps things simple?" Brick asks.
"Yes," I say. "Exactly. Simple is far better than trying to explain my plural relationship with three men to my coworkers." "Three very hot, well-known men," I don't add. Brick just smiles. "My assistant said one of her friends saw me at Turning Point Club with Matisse and Smith that night he took me there for dinner. Vanessa Sterling."
"Is that a problem?"
"It is when everyone knows that Turning Point Club is for well-to-do swingers, Brick."
"She won't say anything else. Take my word on that. I will make a personal phone call after I leave here and make sure of it. She would never risk her husband's membership. She's having too much fun with her new toy, Jordan Wells."
"Oh, great. Well, Jordan Wells is an old fuckbody of Michelle's, Brick. This is all getting very, very, I can't find the right word.
Uncomfortable for you," Brick finishes.
"Yes," I say, "exactly, uncomfortable. I don't want people talking about me again."
"Again?"
he asks. "Ever," I say, trying to hide my slip up. "I don't like it, Brick." My hands start shaking, and he leans across the desk to hold one.
"It's okay, Chella. I promise, I'll handle it. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. We won't let anyone hurt you."
Brick has a thoughtful look on his face, and I count my blessings that it was him and not Smith who just showed up during that conversation with Michelle. But that reminds me. "Why are you here? Does Smith know?"
"Do you want him to know?"
"I don't know. I guess not."
"Why not?"
"I don't want him coming over and starting a scene. He comes across as the type who likes to make scenes."
"He would never embarrass you that way, Chella. But I am here because of him."
I wait for it, but Brick continues to smile as he keeps silent. "Well, what does he want?"
"Did everything go okay last night?"
"I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that stuff."
"And I told you I'm in charge of your well-being. As number three, it's part of my job description to make sure you're okay at all times."
He stops to wait for me to say something, but I don't know what to say.
"Are you okay, Chella? You're looking a little tired this morning. Did you have a rough night?"
I smile at his smirk. "Well, I did go on a date that had a lot of dirty sex involved."
"True, but it's what happened after I dropped you off that concerns me. I'm fairly certain the dirty sex we had isn't the problem."
"He didn't come over."
"Okay," Brick says. "Anything else you'd like to tell me?"
"Like Smith practically demanding that I let him watch us fuck next week?" "No, I decide to leave that out. Who knows what will happen between now and then, right? The whole arrangement could fall apart, and I'd never have to have that conversation at all." "He made me watch us fuck on the TV all night long."
"Ah," Brick laughs. "So that explains it. You spent the night masturbating to the little sex tape we made."
The words "sex tape" strike fear through my whole body. "He would never..."
"No, Chella. He would never show those to anyone. Ever. You don't need to worry about that."
"Whew," I say, making an exaggerated gesture of wiping my brow with my hand.
"Did you masturbate to the sex tape all night long?"
"Yes," I say, blushing a little, but I leave out the best part. That it was my fantasy of Smith watching us fuck that got me off.
"Well, he called me this morning and told me to let you know he won't be around this weekend."
"No?" I ask, wondering why that is. "Did he give a reason?"
"He said you'd know why. which had my mind working overtime.
Brick leans forward, both my hands in his now.
I'm just here to make sure he's not fucking things up, that's all. I like you. I want this to work. And Smith can be challenging to manage at times. Don't let him ruin what we could have. Like I said last night, you can cut him out completely. Keep him on the other end of the cameras. He'll stay away from the apartment if you don't let him watch in person.
How do you know that? I ask.
Because we've done this before. We've been one and three before. It's not an ideal situation. In fact, Smith is always a challenge. But we can manage him, Chella. If you refuse to let him watch, he will leave you alone, just like he left Rochelle alone.
I think about this for a moment. Do I want to cut him out completely? Do I want Smith Baldwin to leave me alone?
Think of Friday through Sunday as your days off. Can you do that? Just stay at your own house and come back to the club Sunday midnight for Quinn. Quinn is easy to manage. He's fun, right? He can fuck you all he wants without the games. Be a good friend.
And you? I ask, wondering where he's going with this idea.
I can fuck you all I want, too. As long as we have a camera for Smith to watch us later, we can pretend he's not there. We can pretend it's just us. I've done it before, Chella. It will work if you allow it to work.
He lets go of my hands, stands up, and walks around the desk until he's towering over me. He's hard just from the talk. His huge cock is outlined in his pants, and he grabs it for a second, like he's trying his best to make it shrink. I look up at his face, doing my best not to beg him to fuck me right now. Is this what you want? I ask. For me to cut him out?
Brick just shrugs. You only have three choices. Cut him out, let him join us, or walk away. I just want to make sure you don't walk away.
He reaches for my hand, pulls me up so I'm standing, and then kisses it lightly. Gently, his soft, full lips lingering for a second before he pulls away and looking me in the eyes.
I'm enjoying you very much, Marcella Walcott, and I'd like to keep enjoying you for as long as possible. So make your choice, whichever one is best for you, and I hope that it's the one I suggested.
Why? I ask, my voice small and timid. Do you want me all to yourself?
I'll never have that, he says. I'll always be sharing you with Quinn, no matter what, but I certainly wouldn't mind having you without Smith. It's just not my decision to make. So we work with what we have.
Chapter 20. Smith. So you went to talk to her? I ask. Why, exactly? If Brick gives a fuck that I'm pissed off, he doesn't show it. You know why. No, I actually don't, so give me more, Brick, because I'm starting to get mad. We're sitting up in my private bar overlooking the black room. It's Saturday night. I'm here alone. I can't go see Chella because I don't trust myself to adhere to the rules. And then this asshole comes in and tells me he checked up on her today. At least she's at home and not here. One less thing to worry about. Brick is smoking a cigar, which he hardly ever does, and he knows I hate, so I know he's doing it on purpose. Why is he fucking with me? I'm just curious, Smith. About? But Quinn walks in just as Brick is about to explain and takes his seat across from me and next to Brick. What's up? He asks me. Then, hey, aren't you supposed to be upstairs? I'm holding back, I say, trying not to growl out the word. Why? Quinn laughs. But then I look at Brick and he presses his lips together and nods. Okay, so we're gonna go through this again? Why can't you assholes just enjoy yourselves and not make things complicated? Says the guy who fell in love with Rochelle and drove her away. I don't know why I just said that, and I don't even know where it came from because it's not true. Nice. Brick says, puffing on the cigar. Nice going, Smith. All right, Quinn says, standing back up. Fuck both of you. I don't need this shit. I don't need either of you to enjoy this arrangement. I get her all to myself, no games. And I only came to go downstairs tonight, so catch you down there whenever the fuck I see you. Brick and I both watch him walk out. Just stay away from her, okay? I say. If it's not Wednesday or Thursday, stay away and keep your fucking mouth shut. I don't like to be talked about, you know that. Don't talk about me to her. Brick is silent for almost a minute before he too gets up from my table and heads towards the stairs. I watch him go down into the lobby. Lucinda is here again. I cannot remember for the life of me seeing her so goddamned much in such a short time span. But then I see why she's here when the newest member, Jordan Wells, brings her a drink, and he cops a feel between her legs as her husband watches with eager eyes. Saturday nights at Turning Point Club can get wild. It's all private. All the shades are closed on the windows facing the street, and the restaurant is closed to the public, so you have to be a member to get past the front door. Brick stops to chat with her, also copping a feel, which makes her whole face light up with delight. She's been after us both for years, but he can have her. I'm not interested. He goes downstairs every weekend, without fail, and most of the time I have no idea what he's doing down there. Don't care, either. I went for Lucinda's birthday party 2 weeks ago because it's something I do to make her happy, but I only came back because I was horny as fuck. Marcella Walcott's pussy was wet when I checked her in Rochelle's closet. Has it only been 2 weeks? A few minutes later, Lucinda heads towards the back of the lobby with Brick, Jordan, and her husband. Brick's eyes meet mine as he moves out of sight. Good for you, motherfucker, I say, raising my glass of scotch to no one. He can have that fucking club. He's always been more interested in what goes on down there than I have. Quinn as well. Hell, maybe Quinn will join in. Lucinda can get the gangbang of her dreams. I stew in my thoughts like this for hours, until it's after 11 o'clock and I'm about ready to call it a night. And then Cella walks in the front door, wearing a white dress that shows more cleavage than I need right now. For a second, I'm enraged, thinking she's going to join Quinn and Brick downstairs. But she leans in to talk to the hostess, who smiles and nods at the sentry standing guard in front of the black velvet rope in front of the main staircase, and she is given permission to go upstairs. What the fuck is she doing? I watch her with interest as she ascends, and then our eyes meet. I repeat my thought out loud. What the fuck are you doing? She turns her head and keeps climbing until she gets to the landing and presses the button for the elevator. Cella, I say again, a little louder this time as I get up and walk to the opening of my private bar and look down at her. What are you doing? The elevator doors open and she steps inside without answering me. I jump down the 6 steps that lead to the 2nd-story landing and follow her, just in time before the elevator doors close. Did you hear me? Do I appear deaf? Of course I heard you. Why are you here? I live here. Top floor apartment. Brand new furniture? Ringing any bells? No, I say, you do not live here. You live down on Little Raven Street, and that's where you need to go. Right now. No, Cella says, her back straight, her chin tipped up, defiant. No, I'm not going back there. I'm bored. And you already told me you wouldn't be around this evening, so why should I stay there? I'd rather be here. It's Saturday night, Cella. You don't need to be here, trust me. Rochelle stayed here on Saturday nights? That's not the same thing. Why not? Because I was number 2 with Rochelle. And? And I wasn't playing games with her like I am with you. But I don't say that. I say, it was a lot simpler. The elevator doors open and she steps out, the key card to her apartment already in her hand. She unlocks the door and swings it open, then blocks my entrance so I can't come in. I'm tired, so you don't need to babysit me. Move, I say. I want in. I thought you don't want to spend time with me, she says. I thought you wanted to stay at your own home as much as possible. I counter. I changed my mind. Well, so did I. She steps aside and I walk past her, go into the kitchen and immediately take down a bottle of scotch I stashed in the cupboard while she was at work this week. Chella closes the door and walks down the hall to her bedroom. I pour myself a drink, take a long gulp, refill, and then follow her. She's undressing. I can see her through the open door of the massive closet. I see Quinn has been busy, because she's got a lot more clothes in there than she did the last time I was in here. You know, she says, if you want me to go home, you might consider lifting the order on that sex tape you've had running on my bedroom TV for 3 days. I almost laugh. You didn't turn it off. And then I do laugh. She glares at me as the dress slips down her body and pools into a puddle at her feet. You told me not to. Am I the only one following the rules anymore? I mean, I figured things would go off the rails, but I didn't think it would only take a week. I say. Is this about Brick coming to see you yesterday? Because I never told him to. Of course you didn't. He was there asking me to deny you access to our bedroom and cut you out of the relationship completely by making you watch remotely. I just blink at her. Are you fucking serious right now? Why would I lie about that? I can think of about 24 reasons why one of our toys might lie about that, but none of them ring true about Marcella Walcott. She stands there, naked, waiting to see if I'll answer. But I suddenly have the urge to shut the fuck up. Brick is getting bold. Chella shrugs at my silence and then turns to her underwear drawer and takes out a cream-colored lace nightie that has Quinn's handiwork all over it. I mostly like them to sleep naked. Quinn likes to dress them up like dolls every chance he gets. I lean against the closet door, trying my best to look nonchalant as I watch her pull the lace over her tits and then jiggle them around to get them situated. Chella ignores me, pushing past with a hand on my chest to give herself room to get by. And then she walks out of the bedroom and down the hall, back to the living room. I did not miss the fact that she has no panties on, or that she touched me. Is she trying to fuck with me tonight? Is she baiting me to break the rules? Is she really considering Brick's advice? He doesn't want me out. That defeats the whole purpose of what we're doing. So he's added this little interesting element to push things along quicker. Is that what he's doing? Or is he serious? Does he want her to cut me out? I don't know why it hits me so hard, but it does. I have never thought of these girls we play with as something to own, but suddenly things feel different. Does he want her? For himself? I shake my head at that. It makes no sense. I mean, I want her for myself, but I'm me. I'm a selfish asshole. I want everything for myself. It's in my blood. It's part of my charm. Even I have to chuckle at that last one. I'm pretty sure no one calls me charming. That's Quinn, if it's any of us. But fuck Brick for telling her to cut me out, even if it was part of his game. Has he done this before? He didn't have to do it with Rochelle. I was number two. I had her whenever I wanted her, which was often in the beginning. But she got old fast. We had nothing in common. But Chella is the exact opposite of Rochelle. I can't think of a single commonality about them. Except us, of course. Did Brick play this game with Quinn when he was number one with Rochelle? I suddenly have the need to ask him. I head down the hallway, leaving to go downstairs and have this out with Brick and Quinn, when Chella says, "What do they do down there?" "Huh?" I ask, my hand reaching for the doorknob. I turn and look over my shoulder. She's sitting in a chair in front of the window. My chair in front of the window. The one I should be sitting in as I watch her. And she's got her legs open, flashing that wet, pink pussy at me. "What the fuck are you doing?" She smiles, shrugs. "What?" she asks innocently. "I thought you liked to watch." "I do." "Downstairs, when they go downstairs in the basement, Rochelle said she'd never been down there." An evil idea is percolating in my head. "And you never will either. It's not a place for you. You're not even a member. So what's the big secret? The secret? I laugh. It's not a secret. We fuck people down there. In groups. A husband-wife team chooses others to join them, and we all fuck until we're spent. Does that satisfy your curiosity? Is Brick down there now? And Quinn? Yes, evil little idea. Come to Daddy. I'll take care of you, nurture you, keep you alive and healthy. What do you think? I ask her. She lets out a long exhale. I want to think no, because I should be enough. Oh, I laugh the word out. Enough, you say? That's so fucking interesting coming from a woman who needs three men to satisfy her. Who said I do? She snaps, anger all over her red flushed face. I never said that. You guys offered this to me. You invited yourself in knowing full well what it was. So hey, I laugh. If you're gonna get jealous about Brick and Quinn fucking other women, then you better keep that to yourself. We don't put up with it. But you put up with Brick telling me to cut you out? Yes, evil idea, I will take you home and keep you forever. Would you like to go downstairs, Chella? Would you like to see what Brick and Quinn are doing right now? Is that a joke or a real offer? I shrug. Take it any way you want, but if you say yes and you don't like what you see, don't come crying to me when your filthy, deviant heart gets broken. Because I'll tell you something right now, Chella. You can't ever compare to the sluts we have down there when it comes to sex. Brick will never give that up. Quinn, maybe. But Brick is in for the duration. And you? I laugh again. I don't go down there. That night Quinn found you in Rochelle's bed was the first time all year for me. Then why go that night? Because you made me. I made you? She laughs. You and your wet pussy in that closet. You with your innocent eyes and dirty mouth. You with your big idea to come rock our world and join our game. I went down because of you, Chella. And when Brick fucked his four, yes, four sluts that night, I painted your face on each one of them as I jerked off and watched. We stare at each other. It seems like years go by in silence. Take me down, she finally says. I want to see. See? I shake my head. Everyone who goes down participates, Chella. It's not a spectator sport. But you just said you only watched, that you jerked off. So why can't I watch with you? Because I won't be able to control myself. Because I'll end up pushing you into a corner and fucking you from behind. Because I'll beat the shit out of anyone who comes near you, looks at you wrong. Smith? She says, drawing me out of my thoughts. Please take me down. I'll do whatever you say. If you want to go dark, then don't take a light. Right? I smile. Marcella Walcott wants to leave her light behind. I'm yours tonight, Smith Baldwin, she says back. My evil idea is bigger now, blossoming into something beautiful. Take off your nightie. All the women have to enter naked.
Chapter 21. Chella. I'm not walking through the lobby naked. Smith gives me a look that says, don't be stupid. We're not going to the lobby, Chella. We'll take the freight elevator. What happened to I'm Smith Baldwin and I'm too good for the freight elevator? Do you want to see it or not? He asks. Because you're not supposed to be down there, and if Brick and Quinn see you, then what? I ask. What will they do? They'll just be pissed off. The reason we have you is to keep you separate from all that. So why are you going to ruin it? Okay, he says. We won't go. I'm not saying that. I want to go. Then shut the fuck up and take off your clothes. Smith growls. I'll take you down in the freight elevator. It'll bring us to the back end of the space, and then I'll give you a peek. Just a peek? I ask. You guys seem to throw that word around a lot. It's just a peek, Cella. A little glimpse into the forbidden.
He's about to say fuck the whole thing, I can tell. But I have a point, so I get to it.
Why don't you guys just admit it?
Admit what?
He asks. That it's not a peek at all. It's full immersion. It's not dipping a toe in the water, Smith. It's drowning in the dark depths. He lets out a small laugh, and then that surly frown turns into a grin.
You want to live in it, Cella? Do you want me to invite you deeper?
Obviously, that answer is yes, Smith. I stare at him as he reassesses me. If you think I don't know what I'm getting into, you're wrong. He rubs the stubble on his jaw.
Really? You're an old pro at the fine art of sex club navigation, are you?
I've been to them before, I say. He cocks an eyebrow at me, as if intrigued.
When? Where? With who?
Do I detect some jealousy in those questions? It's not important, I say, but I've hit a nerve with Mr. Baldwin. How cute that you think I'm so innocent, Smith.
I have never thought you innocent, Cella, he says. But a little inexperienced, yes, he admits. So you're playing a game with us as well?
I'm just along for the fun, I say, slipping the chemise nightie up and over my head and dropping it to the floor. So why don't we stop talking and just do what we both know we want to do?
You want to get fucked down there tonight?
He laughs, kinda loud, like this is the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard.
I can't fuck you down there, Cella, and no one else will be allowed to get near you. You can walk into the ocean and drown yourself in the dark depths on someone else's time. But when you're with me, it's just a peek.
He's dead serious about this, and I have to admit, I didn't expect him to remain so loyal to Brick and Quinn, especially after I goaded him with what Brick said to me about cutting him out of the game. Fine, I say, shrugging my shoulders like I hardly care. Just a peek, then. He stares at me for a moment, opens his mouth like he might say something, then thinks better of it.
Come on, he says, taking my hand, already breaking the rules.
We leave the apartment and go down the hall to a door. We go through it, then down another dark hallway, until we reach the back of the building where the freight elevator is located. This is how Rochelle got me upstairs to her apartment that first night. Smith punches in a code to open the doors as I watch, fascinated by the world they've created here in the middle of downtown Denver. A secret world. A forbidden world. A world I haven't thought about in a very long time. A world I left behind. A world I'd very much like to be part of again. What's on the other floors? I ask as the doors close us in.
Rooms, Smith says, utterly uninterested.
I guessed that, Smith. I meant what happens on the other floors. He looks at me, annoyed for some reason.
Sex, Cella. We're a hotel so rich men who are bored with their wives can come here during the work week and fuck someone new.
So you have prostitutes here?
No, he laughs. They have to bring the pussy with them.
Do you bring people to those rooms? He looks away, up at the illuminated numbers ticking down the floors, until the elevator gets to the one lit up as B,